Good morning. Welcome. It's good to see you on this beautiful day. The Lord blessed us with another wonderful day, hasn't he? We need to brag on him this morning. Before we begin worship, let's look at some announcements. You see what's listed here, ladies auxiliary lap quilt project, Mondays 9 to 12. Today we'll be collecting the change for children monies. You can bring those up and put on this front pew right here. Also remember, tomorrow is Memorial Day, a day to remember all of those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice for the freedoms and the blessings that we have here in America. And we certainly want to remember that. Choir practice May 28th at 6:30, Wednesday evening, and Thursday the 29th Bible study at 10. And I'm going to skip this one. Ladies Auxiliary, June the 22nd at 4 p.m. And on Sunday the 27th, we'll have Graduate Sunday. Pam,
yes,
go at it. All right.
The sign-up sheet for the Sunday day of prayer on June 20th is outside. Please sign up for an hour. As I mentioned to you last week, it's not hard to pray an hour. It really is not. I'd like for every hour to be filled. But please, if the hour you want to come is filled, sign up. We got plenty of room in you. You can spread out and pray, or if you want to get together and pray, whatever. Just somebody be here praying every hour that day, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. I'll be here at 7 a.m. Johnny will probably be at p.m. But please join me if you like sometime during that day. Also, one other thing, we got no takers for the Saturday visits to the children's home, so several ladies said, well, let's go during the week. So I've got 2, 4, 6, 8 people signed up to go on June 18th, which is a Wednesday. We'll leave about 9 o'clock. If you want to go, see me. We'll drive as many cars as we need to. That's June 28th, visit the children's home. Thank you.
18th or 28th, which is it?
Oh, 18th. What did I say? I meant to say 18th. Pray on the 20th, children's home on the 18th.
Thanks for keeping us on our toes there. Yeah. We had a very good convention this week at Mount Olivet to College. It was a really strong, grand vision presented for the future. And we'll be hearing more about that as time goes on. Thank all of you that prayed for the convention. It was a good one. We have any other announcements this morning? First Baptist Men's Prayer Breakfast next Sunday morning, 7:30. All right.
Oh, I forgot. I was supposed to tell you one more thing. I was asked to announce that the Deep Run alumni meeting is June 7th at 1 at King's. If you're a Deep Run alum, please be there on June 7th, 1 o'clock at King's.
Any other announcements? All right, let's begin worship.
Thank you.
Take your bulletin stand. Let's read together the responsive reading. People of God, open your eyes. Look around.
The presence of our Lord Jesus Christ is here among us and within us.
God's salvation is close at hand, nearer than you know.
So let us open our hearts and minds to the Holy Spirit. Let us worship God together.
Father God, we just thank you for being our God. We thank you for being present this morning. We thank you for being among us in a powerful way. And we pray that your Spirit would just fill our hearts and minds that we truly can worship you in the spirit of truth and understanding. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's turn in our hymnals to 809. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 4 of God of Our Fathers. You may be seated. Mr. Tony Gunner has our scriptures this morning.
Morning, family.
Morning.
And we're blessed and thankful. Any visitors is with us today? The Old Testament reading is Psalm chapter 67, verses 1 through 7. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. The New Testament reading is Revelation chapter 21, verses 22 through 22:5. Well, 22 through 22:5. All right, here we go. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God to give it light. And the Lamb is its light. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and the honor of the nations would be brought into it. Nothing impure will enter in it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful and deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Then the angel showed me the river of water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great city streets. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Running after me.
my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so
continue to worship as we pray. Are there any names we need to remember this morning as we pray?
Sue Houston.
Jason, the sheriff's
visit
out of Kitty
Estes. Okay. All right.
Donna Sloan Rosenberg, her husband was killed.
Okay.
Eric Garris,
okay. Mm-hmm.
Pray for Trey Shepherd, Jackie Kennedy,
yeah,
and Carrie Stroud.
All right.
I would like to give a report on Jackie, my sister.
Okay.
She's halfway her treatments, and her cancer has shrank halfway on her liver. The size that it was has gone down halfway, so we're very thankful for that.
Yeah. Amen. Okay, anyone else? All right, as you pray during the week, remember those names that are listed on the back of the bulletin. And remember our nation, the leaders, our nation, our world, and certainly those this Memorial Day, those who have paid the sacrifice with their lives. All right, let's take action as we pray.
Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, we stop at this part of our service, Lord, to remember all those that are mentioned. First of all, I want to say, Lord, it's your will. And Jesus prayed, not my will, but your will, Lord God. So, even though we list all these things and our wants and what we think, we put it in your hands. It's your will. We pray for now for all those that were mentioned, those that weren't mentioned. I pray for those that have served this country and all the wars that we've had, and good, bad, and indifferent, Lord, they were here, they protected this land. And I pray for all of them, the ones that came back and had to deal with that, and the ones that we lost. Lord, I pray for this church and all of your churches, but I pray for this church because this church is special to me and it's special to us. And we want this church to be what you want this church to be. We are more doing your will, not our will. I ask that you be with our pastor as he brings our morning message. I ask that you be with all the people traveling, Lord. If it's your will, please keep them safe. Let them return home safely. I pray for your guidance. I pray for your love. Thank you, God, for all of your love. It's just so enormous, I can't even imagine. Just thank you. I pray for each and every one that's here, Lord, and those that are not here. And I pray for our pastor and the message that he'll bring us from you. And this is all I pray in your precious name, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all turn to 807 in our hymnals. Stand and sing verses 1, 3, and 4 of My Country, 'Tis of Thee.
Presence in our lives, Lord. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Lord, thank you for providing for us each and every day, because everything comes from you. Lord, we ask that you take these offerings today because they belong to you. We ask that you use them to further your kingdom and that they may magnify your name. We come and give these with grateful hearts, Lord. We love you, we praise you, and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Stand for the doxology, please. You may be seated. Our scripture text today comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. Our thought today is the giving life. The scripture reads like this. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compassion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. For it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies the seed to the sower and the bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else, and in their prayers for your hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. From the time we're born, we're taught to hang on, and we're encouraged to clutch. Babies enter this world with their fists tightly clenched. And even as they begin to grow, if you put your finger in their tiny little hand, the baby will instinctively grab hold and squeeze. And as the years go on, whatever is put in that hand gets gripped. One of the first words babies learn to say is mine. We're all taught to hold on tight, right? To the jump rope and the baseball bat and the monkey bars. And the handlebars. And later you learn to hang on tight to that diploma and that job offer and that paycheck. You learn to say, just as you said when you were barely a year old, it's mine. And then, through many years, time slips away, and before we know it, we're hanging on again, this time for dear life, just for a few moments more. We're clutchers by nature. We go through life holding tightly to what is ours. And this instinct follows us every step of the way, and like so many instincts, it doesn't always serve us well. I recently had both of my hands operated on, and they had to make a form to put on my hand so I couldn't close it. I'm a clutcher. In fact, this tendency to clutch and to clench proves to be our greatest obstacle many times in living the open-handed life that God has called us to live. We're in a four-week series called Between Sundays. We've been considering what it means to live the Christian life on those days, other days of the week, the days we're not here with our Sunday best on. The point is, the Christian life is not just a one-day event. It's a 7/24, 24/7, even though today's topic is an everyday activity in the Christian life. It might surprise you because I'm talking about something many people only think takes place in church on a Sunday morning with your checkbook. I'm talking about giving. Typically, we think that giving in the Christian life is limited to the moment following a hymn and right before the doxology while the organ plays ever so reverently and we take our last minute look at Facebook. And of course, the offering is an essential part of the service because it gives us the opportunity to support the ministry of this church as well as many ministries and projects throughout the world. But this single sacred moment in our worship service is a mere drop in the bucket to the open-handed giving lifestyle God has called us to live. God's word reminds us giving isn't a one day a week any more than prayer or scripture reading is a one day a week event. It's an everyday thing. Today we want to talk about giving. You know, this is a topic I don't talk about a lot. And I don't want to give the impression that we're all about money because we're not. But today's message will focus on this big idea. Our giving should never be limited to what we put into plate on Sunday morning. Giving is a lifestyle. And it should happen every day in the life of a believer. In the scripture we read earlier, Paul talks to the church in Corinth about their giving and how giving works, how it should be done, and the results that they can expect to see. In just a handful of verses, he summarizes the significant portion of all we need to know about giving. So today, let's look at this text and these principles it teaches about the giving lifestyle. And let us consider how this element of the Christian life plays out between Sundays. And briefly, we're going to look at three keys to the giving life. The first is to look how giving works. How does giving work in the kingdom of God? First of all, let's talk about the rhythm of sowing and reaping. Paul said in verse 6, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. This is called the law of the harvest. You've probably heard it before. Paul refers to it in the book of Galatians, Galatians 6, 7, 9. He says, do not be deceived. God is not, cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will also reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in well-doing, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Paul here is specifically talking about our behavior when it comes to giving. If you sow to please the fleshly nature, he says you'll reap destruction. If you sow to please those things that are spiritual, things of God, you will reap eternal life. The seed that you plant is the harvest that you'll reap. Isn't that right, Jerry? If you plant corn, what you going to reap? Corn. You plant soybeans, you get soybeans. Right. So here Paul applies this principle to our giving. Jesus also referred to this harvest principle when he said in Luke 6:38, give and it will be given unto you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It will be poured in your lap, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. This is similar to what Paul is saying. If you give sparingly, you reap sparingly. When you put those seeds in the ground, if you put about half of what you should put, what you going to do? You're going to reap a little sparingly there, aren't you? Right? All right. So if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you give generously, you reap generously. And giving is not a zero-sum process. Even though when we look at it from a natural perspective, it seems it would be. We need to remember that giving is not an expense. A lot of people go through life, and even churches look, and anytime we give, that's an expense. It isn't. The law of the harvest says our giving is an investment. It's a totally different way of looking at something. A lot of times we look at expenses, something goes out, and nothing comes back. But in an investment, what goes out comes back, right? In the kingdom of God, when we give, it's an investment. It's like planting one small seed in the ground, and when that seed comes up as a stalk of corn, look how many more are on those ears coming from that one seed many times over. When you give, God multiplies your gift and sends it back your way. And now we can believe this without making it all about greed. I know some of these people on TV, they're a little greedy and they like this law of the harvest. and they like for you to send them something. They like to tell you, boy, you're going to get rich if you'll send me something. I'm not talking about greed. Okay? I'm not talking about greed. I'm talking about the promise of God's word. The more you sow, the more you reap. That's the rule of the harvest. And this should shape our approach to giving. Investing in our community. Investing in the life of discipleship. Investing by serving all of God's people as God's blessings upon us with returns that return more than we ever give. This brings us to the second area I want to look at today, the guidelines of giving. This isn't the only passage in the Bible that talks about giving. It's probably the most practical, because Paul spells out for the Corinthian believers how they should go about giving. We can follow these same guidelines. In verse 7, he said, each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves the cheerful giver. There's a handful of takeaways to be discovered here in these words. First of all, how much you give is up to you. Paul said, give what you have decided to give. That means that what you give is between you and your heart, and ultimately between you and God. Other people don't get to vote on it. You and you alone need to be okay with the amount, because giving is never about pleasing others or impressing others. That's why Paul says we don't do it reluctantly or under compulsion. And by the same token, how much others give is up to them. It's not up to you, it's not up to me, not even a little. Have you ever wondered if so-and-so bears their fair share? Y'all never thought that before, have you? The truth is, you're not allowed to wonder. Giving is a personal matter for you and for others as well. Giving is something we do because of what God has done for us. We give a little because He gave it all. And here's another takeaway. Giving needs to be intentional. Paul said, what you decide in your heart to give. In other words, it's not a spur of the moment impulse. It's a well thought out strategy. Now, there are thousands of worthy ministries all around the world. And, you know, you can't support them all, no matter how much you'd like to. So you reason it out. You determine in advance how much you can give and where you want to give it. And this ensures that you're giving as much as you possibly can to support a ministry, to help it to continue to flourish and survive. If we give only when we feel like it, we probably will not give enough. So giving needs to be intentional. Well, some days we won't feel like giving, right? Even though it's cheerful, huh? Even though it makes us laugh and smile and it's all happy and we're full of joy when we give, some days we don't feel like it. Also, if something doesn't feel right, you can pass when it comes to giving. Paul said that we shouldn't give reluctantly or under compulsion. There may be times when certain giving opportunities do not feel like the best fit for you. You may feel like you're pressured to give when you really don't feel like you should give. There may be times when you have to say, I can't go along with that, and I don't feel like being pressured. Just count me out on this one. Now, there are some who say no every time and all the time. That's not what I'm talking about here. If you're a giver and you have a habit of giving, you have the freedom, even the obligation, to say no when something doesn't look or feel right. And the final takeaway is giving feels good, and it should. Paul said God loves the cheerful giver, the happy giver, the giver who gives with a heart of joy and thanksgiving. Frankly, if you give only out of guilt, you're missing out on the best part of giving. Here's what makes it easy to be happy and cheerful about your giving. Think about the good your gift will do. It'll help someone else. It may not solve all the problems of the world, but someone will eat today or tonight. Or someone will get their medicine. Or someone's life will be a little easier. Or someone will have the opportunity to be educated where they can read and read God's word. Just think, if you're being strategic in your giving, if you've done your due diligence of deciding in your heart where your limited resources will have its greatest impact, it's hard not to feel good about it. It's hard not to feel God's peace and God's joy and the blessings from God. It's hard not to be enthusiastic about giving. Amen? So, preacher, how much am I supposed to give? You opened up this can of worms. How much? You know, you may be saying, you've convinced me, I want to give. Where do I begin? Most folks want to know how much is the right amount. Paul doesn't say. The New Testament doesn't say. In 1 Corinthians 16, Paul merely says it should be a sum in keeping with your income. In other words, do what you can afford to do. At the end of the day, it's still a number that you have to come up with on your own. Well, what about 10%, preacher? I've heard 10% before. Well, that was an Old Testament model. In Genesis 14, Abraham gave a tenth of everything to the priest Melchizedek. And in Genesis 28, Jacob vowed a tenth of all that he had to God. In Deuteronomy 14, the people of Israel were told to set aside a tenth of their fields of the produce each year. This is what they were expected to give. But the New Testament doesn't explicitly teach the 10% model. It more or less teaches a spirit-led, grace-based type of giving that in reality doesn't limit itself to 10%. The widow in Mark 12 gave all she had. Members of the early church in Acts 2 gave everything. In John 6, a little boy gave all he had in his lunchbox. Sometimes we're led by the Spirit to give much more than just a little. In the previous chapter of today's text, Paul said, 2 Corinthians 8:12, "For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have." But all that being said, I guess 10% is a good target for some, and 10% is way too little for some. So in the next few minutes here, I want us to consider heaven's response to our efforts. What happens when we give? Paul takes one verse to spell out giving guidelines. Then he takes seven verses to detail the results of giving. At the top of the list, he says, when you give, you're blessed. Now, we don't tend to think of it like that. We tend to think that if we give something, we just lost something, right? We don't have it no more. Somebody else has got it. But not according to God's word. When you give, you're blessed. In every way, Paul says, you're blessed with more of what you gave and more of what you need and more of what you do. Paul goes as far to say this. He says, you will abound in every good work. Verse 11 says, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Sowing and reaping then becomes a lifelong process when we give to get and then we get to give. In other words, when we give, we receive, and when we receive, we have the privilege of being able to give again. The message here is when you give, God puts your gift to work in your life and in the lives of others around you. Verse 12, Paul said, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Paul is saying here that your gift not only helps meet a spiritual need, it also accomplishes a spiritual purpose. God is glorified. People are drawn to Him in gratitude. And He causes people to reach out to Him with hearts that are filled with praise because of your faithful giving. What happens when we give? Briefly here, in conclusion, I'll talk briefly about three T's of giving. I said at the beginning of the message, it's more than what we put in the plate each Sunday. You know, that's most likely the biggest gift we give each week, but it shouldn't be the only gift each week. We have the opportunity to give every day. Last week I talked about service. And giving goes hand in hand with service because what we give isn't limited to dollars. God invites us and expects us to give our time, to give our talents, and to give our treasure. There are people probably, I'm sure, in this community don't care anything about your money, but they would give anything for an hour of your company. There are people who would never think of asking for money, but they could use a little help around the house, or maybe some yard work, or to help them set up their printer, learn to use the computer better, or even teach them how to make a cake. And of course, there are those who do need financial assistance on occasion. Being a giver 24/7 is all about our time, our talent, and our treasure. We have the opportunity to give from at least one of these resources that God has supplied to us every day of our lives. And that's good because our mission says that we want to reach our community, we're going to build disciples, and we're going to serve all of God's people. And look at all the resources that God has given to all of us to be able to give to do that, to reach out into our community. We know we should give, but many times our tendency all too often is to clutch and to clench in each of these areas. I'm not made of money. Don't waste my time. You need to learn to do it yourself. And I know y'all have not ever said that or thought it. But the truth is, the more we clutch, the more miserable we become. God can't bless that. However, when you give of your time, your talent, your treasure, heaven responds and the law of the harvest kicks in, and the more you sow, the more you reap. The more you invest, the more return you get. The more you reap, the more righteousness comes your way, and the more you will abound in every good work. That's the law of the harvest. And remember, our giving should never be limited to what we put in the plate on Sunday morning. Giving is a lifestyle, and it should happen every day. So, let's unclench our fist, open our hands, and look around. Who might God send your way this week? And how will you use the resources God has blessed you with, that you can take advantage of the opportunity to be a giver? Father, we thank you today for your word. And we thank you for the blessing associated with not just knowing your word, but living by it. Bless us in this week ahead. And help us to take advantage of all the opportunities that we give to serve and to give and to be your representative here on earth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's all turn to 686 in our hymnal. Stand and sing verses 1, 3, 5, and 6 of O God, Our Help in Ages Past.
Again, we thank you for coming, welcome you, and remind you of the prayer concerns, those listed in the bulletin, our announcements. Don't forget Change for Children. If you want to write a check, write it to the church and stub it Children's Home. You can put it on this front pew and we'll collect it all together and send it in. Bless the children. Don't forget about the trip to the Children's Home on the 18th. Sign up for the prayer, day of prayer. Anybody else have anything to say before we leave? Don't forget tomorrow's Memorial Day. All right. Have a blessed day and a blessed week. Brother Dan, would you dismiss us, please?
Our eternal heavenly Father, we give to you, God. Each and every one of you today, Lord. God, we thank you for those that gave their life, Lord, and those that didn't come back, Father. We give you praise and honor, and we thank you for our pastor, God, and just bless each and every home and touch each and every heart as we go out today and touch the lost and help each and every one in Christ's name we pray.
Amen. Mm-hmm.